Hello, Sophie Llewellyn Smith here, sometimes known as the Interpreting Coach, with another episode of the Complete Interpreter Podcast, the podcast about all things interpreting, from interpreting skills to mindset to marketing on occasion. Why the Complete Interpreter? Well, because you are not just an interpreting machine or a translation machine. You are a whole person and somebody who's running an interpreting business, like it or not. And so here I am with some holistic CPD, if you like. Now, listen to this list of words and see if you can work out what I'm going to talk about today. What do these words have in common? Doohickey, thingamajig, whatchamacallit, oojamaflip, jigumbob, whatchamacallit, doobry. Maybe I've started repeating myself. Now, did you or did you not understand that all of those words are different ways of saying thing? Let's see if I can explain to you why I'm recording a podcast today about the word thing. This all goes back to something that Andy Gillies said in a presentation he was giving at this year's TERP Summit. He was giving a talk about how to improve your retool. And he was explaining how you know whether your B language or potential B language is good enough to work in retool. And he had come up with this very simple test, which was if someone gives you a random object, a thing, I don't know, a component from a dishwasher or something, are you able to describe this in your B language in a way that a person will understand and they will be able to picture what you're talking about? Now, the simplicity of this struck me as absolutely genius because I have also sometimes given talks about whether your B language is good enough to be a B language, and I went through all these diagnostic tests. Put your B language under a stress test, have a go at speeches with different registers, with cultural references, with technical vocabulary. What is it that the audience is missing when you do that? Does your grammar start to suffer? Are you lacking the terminology? Etc., etc., etc. Everybody knows that I can talk for a very long time on any given subject. So, and I'm very detail orientated. So I had come up with this whole structure and kind of approach to how you could decide whether your B language was good enough to work out there on the market. So I was absolutely amazed by the simplicity of this idea that you need to be able to describe any kind of object in a way that will make people understand, even if you don't have the exact terminology at your fingertips. By extension, I felt like instead of just a physical object, you should also be able to describe an idea, a thought, a hypothesis. And that's exactly what we have to do in the booth. We have to use our mastery of the B language in this case to paraphrase and to describe, even if we don't have the exact words that we would like to be able to use. So I was very impressed with this, as I often am, by things that Andy says. And I went away and thought about it for a bit and thought, so what is it that makes us able to describe anything in a way that a person in the audience will understand? And by the way, this reminded me a little bit of an exercise that I once did on a course. As it happens, the course was nothing to do with interpreting. It was a course on aromatherapy because years ago I trained as a massage therapist and an aromatherapist. And one of the exercises that they made us do was to sit back to back, two people. And they gave one of those people, no, in fact, they gave each of us a set of bricks. It wasn't Lego bricks, it was building blocks, but they were different shapes. Some of them were cubes, some of them were triangles, some of them were arches. And one person had to build something with these bricks. And then that person had to describe the structure to the other person. And the other person had to try to reproduce it. So it was teamwork. And I think the purpose of the exercise was probably, given that this was an aromatherapy massage course, it was probably more of a bonding thing than anything else. But I sometimes use that as an exercise with interpreting students to demonstrate the fact that when we're interpreting, we sometimes think that we are being very explicit, but that's because we have a picture in our minds of what we have understood the speaker to say and what we want to convey. But actually, sometimes the words that come out of our mouths are less explicit than we think they are. I'll let that sink in for a moment. I hope you understand what I mean. Because we've understood an idea, sometimes we say half of it and we think that the other person will get it, but they don't have the same mental images in their mind yet. They're reliant on our words to construct that mental image for them. So back to my retour B language point, which was how can we improve our ability to describe absolutely anything in the world? And the first thing that sprang to mind for me when I was trying to picture myself, for example, describing a component from a dishwasher, was that you need a lot of generic terms to replace exact terms or technical terms that you don't know in your B language or that you can't immediately remember. In effect, you need a lot of different ways to say, it's a thingy, it's a thingamabob, it's a doobry, it's a little piece that connects to this other piece. Now, of course, if you were to give a whole speech like that, it would be so incredibly vague that the audience wouldn't understand anything at all. But you need to have some of those tools in your arsenal so as to be able to describe objects and then perhaps ideas getting more and more precise and specific as the description goes on. Now, after that, I thought, well, what exercises could an interpreter do in order to improve that ability? And I came up with two options for you. One option is to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and brainstorm lots of different words for thing. But this will be a much more useful exercise if you put them in categories. I mean, really, what you're looking for are category words. Category words. Different ways of saying things like a goal, a subject, a task, a remark. And as interpreters, you already have little toolkits of category words, of synonyms, because I'm sure that for goal, you would immediately think of target or objective, and maybe then you'd think about ambition or aspiration. The choice of word depends, of course, on the context and on what the speaker said. But I'm quite sure that you already use these synonyms. For example, for subject, you would know to say topic or theme or matter, depending on the context and the sentence in which you place those words. So this is something that I'm sure you already do in your mother tongue and you already do in your B language. You search for synonyms and different ways of saying things, and you have a little library of words, if you like, in your mind. But maybe you can take that a bit further and be a bit more explicit with it and actually write down on a piece of paper some lists of synonyms. Brainstorm them, first of all, because it's always best to try and tap into your own knowledge. And then, if necessary, you can go and look up some synonyms in a dictionary. Always dangerous because the dictionary doesn't tell you the context in which you can use the words. So, off the top of my head, here are some categories that I think would be useful for interpreters. Synonyms for, or more general words that you can use when you are talking about a goal, a remark, a thought, a task, a characteristic. A component. This is something that would be useful for me if I were trying to describe my dishwasher part, because I don't know what all the little pieces are called. So it'd be useful to have generic terms to describe some kind of component, things like an element a constituent part, a section, a portion, something like that. Other generic terms and categories would be words for a device, appliance, machine, mechanism, words for a tool, things like implement, instrument, words for an idea. I'm sure you get my drift. That then is the first way that you could approach it. You could approach it as a brainstorming exercise, see what knowledge you already have, and if necessary, fill in the blanks by talking to a native speaker and or by using a synonyms dictionary. Then the other way that you can approach it, I think, is to look for a pretty technical or specialized article, something in writing, or a technical or specialized speech. And then read through that article. And the point is that it should have some words that you don't know, or that you certainly don't know in your B language. It doesn't really matter, I think, whether you choose an article that's already in your B language or an article that's in your A language and that you try and do as a sight translation into your B language. But what you would do then with this article is read through it and see how you could replace the specific words, the precise words, with something more generic, but still keep the idea or part of the idea. If you're working with an article in your A language, you would do that as a sight translation. And when you get to the tricky word that you don't have in your vocabulary in the B language, what generic word can you use as an alternative and still get part or all of the idea across? And then you could do something similar as an interpreting exercise with a speech. Now, it may not have escaped your notice that this is something that you do already when you're interpreting as a coping strategy. I'm sure you were told as an interpreting student that if you came across an unknown word, one of the ways to deal with that is to say something more general, to generalize, so that you don't make a mistake with a precise word, but you are still getting the gist of the idea across. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. I guess I am just trying to make this a more explicit exercise and make you do more of it. You know, if you choose an article, go through, and maybe even if you know the specific word to translate a technical term, why not go through the whole article or the whole paragraph and deliberately try and replace anything specific with a more general or generic term for it, even if you wouldn't actually have to do that in real life if you were interpreting, but just as an exercise to look for generic terms in your B language, so that if you are one day called upon to describe a dishwasher part or anything else of that ilk, you will have the skills to do so. I hope that this short podcast has given you some ideas. I would love to hear whether you have ever done any exercises like this deliberately or explicitly, whether you've ever thought about your retour language in this way. And of course, as usual, I would love to hear what you would like me to talk about next. See you next time.